All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1122 of the Geek News Central podcast. Always amazes me that we've made it that far. It's Monday, June 13th. And of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Of course, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or just PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Absolutely thrilled to be with you with my blue shirt on tonight here in the studio and with the blue lights behind me and to the side. The room definitely has a blue hue. So don't adjust your screen. Everything's good. Need to have a little contrast, but definitely got the blue going on. Hey, I want to give a very, very warm welcome to the Ohana. Of course, here in Hawaii, Ohana means family. And so again, welcome to the show, all of you that have been longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Those of you brand new, meaning this is your first show, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. And more importantly, I want to get you connected with the Ohana here. So really, there's just a couple of steps you have to take. All you gotta do is visit geeknewscentral.com, and right there on the right-hand side of the website, you can subscribe on iTunes, on Android, via email, via Google Play, via Stitcher. If you're using an old-school RSS podcatcher, we don't care how you get the show, as long as you do. And if you have no idea what the heck I'm talking about, just click on the more subscribe options. That'll give you an explanation on how to get subscribed to the show so that you never, ever, ever miss a single episode of the show. Of course, immediately following the show and when the show's posted online, I send out an email to everyone that is connected to the newsletter. And the newsletter subscribe link is on the website at geeknewscentral.com as well. That newsletter link, all I do is I send you an email with basically everything that you find in the blog post. So you'll have it right there at your fingertips. Don't delete those. Put those in a special folder because I guarantee you, after you've been listening to the show for a while, and you know, you'd be like 2 weeks down the road, you'd be like, man, Todd told me about something. I remember that link. Let me go find it. It'll be an email fast for you to find it. Of course, you can always find it on the website because we never take the links down. So it'll be there for an archive for you. But get subscribed to the show and also subscribe to the newsletter. If you have comments on today's show, it's real easy. Geeknews@gmail.com right there in the lower third. For those of you that are watching, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at geeknews. And, of course, I'm on Facebook, Google+. You can watch this show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can watch, of course, or on Blueberry.com or listen on Blueberry.com. You can, if you have a Amazon Echo, you can tell Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. of course, you can listen on Stitcher. Really, podcasts are just about everywhere today, so... just Google, and if you can't find it, just come to the website. There's a player right on the website. Of course, we want to welcome or want to do a shout-out to our partner shows. That includes Mr. Don Bain at The Gadget Professor at thegadgetprofessor.com, Mr. Jamie Davis at Health Tech Weekly. We got Jacob and Jeff at No Better Than Average. And I haven't heard from Jacob and Jeff, but one of the co-hosts over there is taking some time down. I think Jeff is. I'm going to find out what's going on over there. Don't fully know, but wish both of them best luck in getting back. Or I know at least one of the partners is online, so I think one of them is going solo here for a while. And of course, we've got our Pro Gear News site with lots of content for those of you that are interested in the pro audio and video side of things. That is strictly a written blog. So all that is available, again, from the main website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we want to thank the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. And this should be in the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know how we could apply to have that done, but there's got to be a way to make it happen. But we want to thank our good friends at GoDaddy.com for being with us in July of 2005, putting great deals together every month. And we've been running some great promo codes for a while that you really cannot go wrong on. And to take advantage of that, all you got to do is visit geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And once you're on the website, it's just a matter of clicking on the code that you want or taking it to the shopping cart. Definitely recommend that you just click on the link. There's 30% off on new product purchases. There's a 99cent.coms. We've got web hosting, whether it be managed WordPress hosting, whether it be economy hosting, standard economy hosting accounts, whether it be website builder. The beauty about all these hosting accounts, they all come with a free domain. They are $1 a month for the first 12 months. Please make sure you look at the specific details on the plan that you pick so that you know what the cost is going to be after you roll out of that 12-month introductory period. There's details on top of the website at GoDaddy. When you click on the link, it tells you the restrictions and all that stuff. But definitely check out all those deals and share with your friend. Tell people that you know. We're coming up on Father's Day. So the ladies out here, maybe it's time to get your geeks on, ladies. Maybe it's time to pick up a domain name for the hubby and something that he loves or a passion project. And get it started for them, kickstart it. They'll walk you through the process on a managed WordPress site. They'll just basically let you step right through. And for those of you that are business owners out there, if it's been a while since you've had a rebuild on your website and it's looking a little crusty, a little dusty, maybe it's time to look at the GoDaddy website builder product. And they've got really thousands of templates and color palettes to pick from. And it makes it real easy to get set up and revamp a website or maybe launching a business for the very, very first time. They've got lots of additional products and services over there beyond domains and hosting products. They've got mailing list products. They've got abilities to get SSL certificates. You can got a domain you want to sell. I just sold one here a couple of weeks ago. Didn't get a lot out of it, $250, but it was, that pays for a few domain renewals because I have 376 domains now, which is, a lot of podcast dot. I picked up a lot of the podcast dot TLDs and those are not cheap. So we definitely need your support with supporting GoDaddy. So thank you all for your ongoing long-term support. I'm looking at June numbers already. At least from the console that I have access to, and we look like we're on track for making the numbers in June. So again, and I haven't got my May numbers yet. I sent them an email today, say, "Hey, how'd we do in May?" And maybe my rep is on leave. Who knows? Okay, so enough with that. Bada bing, bada boom. Podcast Movement is fast approaching. That is going down in Chicago on July 6th, 7th, and 8th. So just plan the week of the 4th of July. Everyone else, you're all going to be on vacation. So most of the podcasting community at large is going to be in Chicago that week. So there's going to be lots of content coming out. Rob Greenlee and I will probably be doing a special new media show. So it's a pretty full week, but I cannot guarantee any content for Geek News Central. The main standbys or the main substitutes I have that step in for me to do the show, they're going to be with me in Chicago. So 4th of July doesn't make sense to do a show anyway. So really it'd probably be just one show down that week because of the holiday period. But just keep you up abreast of that. I'm real excited. Some big announcements coming from my team here at the end of the month. We are finally ready to, it looks like late this week or very, 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 very early next week, we're going to be rolling out our new PPS product. And so I'm excited about that, along with some other stuff that's going on. Other than that, it's just been a nose to the grindstone and a lot of advertising deals coming in. But I'm finding podcasters that have been asking for a while for advertising deals, all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're not taking any advertising right now. I'm like, all right, I got money to put in your pocket. And you've been begging me for a deal, and now you're saying, oh, we're good. yeah, it's a little bit, I want to fill the inventory. But if they're not available, they're not available. But lots of opportunities for business shows and parenting shows right now. Lots of media buyers coming in and wanting to buy up that specific type of inventory. But you guys don't care about that. All you care about is the tech news, and we'll get into it here in just a few seconds. But again, everyone, thanks for being here with me. And the Podcast Awards voting closed. So that's behind me. The only thing now I have to do is plan on the actual award ceremony that's going to happen on the 26th. And looking for a MC. I still haven't really locked one down. I'm going to approach somebody tomorrow, see if we can get them to come on and be the MC. And hopefully that'll go good. I'm actually having to upgrade my, in order to make everything happen here in the studio to do the Podcast Awards and keep the flow going, I actually need to bring in, because behind me, these two machines behind me, for those of you that are watching, I normally can have two Skype calls come in, and to do the awards correctly, I'm going to need a third. So I'm going to be upgrading the TriCaster Mini I have to Advanced Edition 2, which is going to set me back about $2,000, but it's something I needed to do with that machine anyway to be able to take care of this NDI internet protocol that NewTek has come up with to allow anything on the network to be seen, and I'd be able to do that with the machine and run Skype on it and have basically in the living room sitting on the kitchen table another TriCaster and digitally bringing over that that input. So yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy here. Wires are going to be everywhere. All right, let's go ahead and move into the stack so that we can get through this tonight. Again, just a big, big aloha. Welcome to the Ohana. Thanks for being here. A lot of news today. Of course, today was a big day for the Apple at WWDC. We'll be talking about that extensively. But really, first thing off was announcement this morning of the acquisition of LinkedIn by Microsoft for $26 billion in cash. That is wow. $26.2 billion in cash. And man, congratulations to LinkedIn. You know, they were already a public company. So the stockholders, I don't know how that's going to work. My understanding is LinkedIn is going to remain its own independent company. But with LinkedIn under Microsoft's belt here, Microsoft's going to own one of the largest social networks and professional social networks in the world. Just to tell you how important LinkedIn is to me, it is my primary way now to get introduced to business owners, CEOs of companies, either through a referral or through a direct contact. It just works out real well. They can look your profile over and they can vet you before making you a friend. And then it leads from there. I've had literally hundreds of meetings, set up and really executed because of LinkedIn. I pay for the, one of their first tiers up. I think it cost me about $300 for their, one of their profiles. Just gives me a little more access, a little more information. And worth every penny, absolutely worth every penny. So again, congratulations to LinkedIn. Good place if you're looking for a job. Job market announcements are out there, getting to know people in companies. You'd be amazed, you know, especially, you know, depending on what business you're in. You know, it's the circle of people in those groups are generally pretty small. So for example, the podcasting community, we have a pretty tight group of, you know, there's probably 50 primaries. And when it comes to business owners, secondary people at companies, and so it's a pretty tight group. You know when someone's going to be looking for a job and vice versa. And it depends on the industry you're in. It's real easy on LinkedIn to, because if you're going to trade shows and going to events and meeting people and you're looking for a job change, and you're looking to move to a different company, you know, those contacts you make at those events, at those industry events, you go back and you connect with those folks after those industry events and you keep them in your LinkedIn profile because, you know, when the waters get rough at a company that you may be at, and you're thinking it's time to abandon ship, it's time to get off this boat and go to another, you can start reaching out to those individuals at those other companies that you may have met through a networking event, if it's in the same industry, and say, hey, are you guys hiring? You're looking for people? And really what that does, and we all know this, and this is why LinkedIn is so valuable, and those of you that don't have a good LinkedIn profile, you need to have one, especially if you're active in the workforce, is that oftentimes it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? So you're looking for a new opportunity. It's time to make that move, to reach out to contact someone in your social network on LinkedIn. Say, hey, you guys hiring? If the person likes you and they got a position, you know, they might just go over to HR and say, hey, I know this guy, he's over here, this gal, and bada bing, bada boom. Now you may have to move, but you may also be in the same community and be able to get a job. So LinkedIn is very, very valuable. For those of you that haven't used it, please do so, especially if you're active in the job and business market. It's a great way to build your status, and you can write articles about your industry, everything. So don't underestimate the value of LinkedIn. And you can see many times who's looking at your profile. So today I had two people that I knew many, many years ago in a completely different industry looked at my profile. And I have a suspicion that individual's looking for people. So I just connected with him and I sent him a message on, he approved me almost immediately. And I sent him a message. I said, hey, Bill, I looked at my profile. Just wanted to say hi. And he wasn't being too presumptuous. And he came back to me. He says, hey, by the way, he says, I know you got your own gig going on, but hey, we're looking for some people. And it just, so now in the circle that I have, if I know some people that may be looking for jobs specifically in North Carolina, I might be able to send some people to North Carolina to him. And anyway, that's kind of how it works. So this, and we'll see how Microsoft does this merging, and if it how they apply it to their business plan. Okay, switching up here. Supreme Court today has okayed the patent trolls we're talking about. Very, very sadly, the U.S. Supreme Court has struck down rules limiting patent infringement damages in a decision that many of us, you know, are going to fear that will embolden trolls again. We, you know, the patent trolls were kind of put in their place a little bit by some legislation out there, but in an unanimous opinion, the court overturned the lower court's ruling in the Halo Electronics versus Pulse Electronics case. In process, shot down a review standard that has been used to limit the amount of money that can be collected when a patent holder successfully sues for infringement. We've talked about that Texas court system where all these patents go into, and it's just a big churn business where they're there, and the courts have been very, the juries there have been very favorable to patent trolls. So this is bad. They used to use or have been using what's called the Seagate test. And it was comprised of a number of steps taken when deciding damages, including the suggestion that infringement in a case should be either known or so obvious that it should have been known to the accused infringer. Because sometimes people don't even know they're infringing on a patent. That's always my biggest scare, is we're building stuff. oftentimes we're thinking about stuff. This is a great idea. Let's do this and let's do that. And you know, and it's all a creative process. But at the same time, there could be other people that 5 years ago had the same idea and said, man, let's patent this idea. And where we're not necessarily looking to patent something, we're just thinking this is going to be a good idea for our system. All of a sudden, these patent trolls come sniffing around sites and say, hey, they're infringing. And little you know, next thing you have is a lawsuit dropped on you. And most companies can't afford a $200,000 to $300,000 it's going to cost to defend. If you're lucky, $300,000, maybe $400,000 to defend something that you built that you thought was just, you know, good for your customers, but ends up being something that someone has got a patent on, but has maybe not even developed the business around. So we'll see where this leads. But the EFF says that the ruling was unsurprising, but pointed out that the decision does not give up free rein to judges to issue pumped up awards. And EFS was glad to see that the court emphasized that enhanced damages should still be reserved for the most egregious of cases. But anyway, it's a big loss here. We will see where this continues to roll as time goes on. Now, at the same time, there's an article over on TechDirt talking about a former patent troll who admits, hey, you know, patent trolls are bad for business and innovation. You think? You know, it's used to be the patents were set up so, you know, someone would, you know, put a patent on a pen because it did something special or, you know, it's something that was, you know, like you made. But now so many patents are just ideas. They're not necessarily a thing, which can be troubling. So this gentleman, this gentleman is basically now willing to speak out, and he's using some politically correct terms like patent assertion entity rather than patent troll, in an article that that was on Bloomberg. And he says it's a, and I'm going to use the word patent troll in substitute for his PAE comment. He says, it's now abundantly clear to me that patent trolls are, in net, detrimental to business and innovation. Despite what they say, trolls are not making the world a better place for anyone. It's time they lay down their arms and allow companies to use the patent system in the way in which it was intended. He also has no problem admitting that the reality of most patent trolling, that it's not about the quality of patents. In fact, crappy patents are pretty good for trolling. He goes on to say, the sad reality is that the patents used by trolls do not need to be good quality for IV, he says, or any patent troll to make money. Quality is not an issue when it costs $2 to $3 million to find out whether a patent claim has merit, whether selling costs just $500,000 to $1 million. Trolls often aggressively push for crazy settlements that far surpass the value of the IP because they know many companies will choose to settle rather than get embroiled in an expensive and drawn-out lawsuit. Their actions can wreak havoc on tech companies of all sizes. In theory, he said, Bloomberg does note that patent trolls and their supporters claim that such companies are the only way to get independent investors paid, but note this is not what's happening in reality. He says, in theory, there is some validity to the argument. It is true that individual inventors and small companies are not always well compensated for their inventions, but in reality, the harm businesses suffer on this front is significantly outweighed by the harm caused by the exorbitant cost of patent litigation lawsuits. The settlements gain from tens of thousands of patents is vastly out proportion with the value of the innovation being licensed. So, anyway, it's just it's just a money play. It's a cash grab. We've all known this for many, many years. But it's nice to hear patent troll kind of agree with this if that's what's going on. All right, switching gears here just a little bit to talk about space. NASA is exploring additional cooperation with the SpaceX Red Dragon mission. So in a June 2nd interview during the Next Generation Suborbital Research Conference in Bloom, Broomfield, Colorado, a NASA Associate Administrator for Space Technology, said his office has a wish list of technology demonstration payloads they would like to fly on Red Dragon or a future SpaceX Mars mission. He said, we've had preliminary talks on payloads for the 2018 mission. However, he added that with less than 24 months before the launch window for that mission opens, it is unlikely that NASA would have such a payload ready to fly in time. So that's cool. Very, very cool. So what are we, what's SpaceX going to send to Mars? Are they going to send something valuable? That be the question, isn't it? So time will tell. Hey, the IRS is providing a transcript tool and gives you access to your tax details. Now, don't we all keep copies of our taxes? Aren't we by law required to keep all our tax stuff for like 7 years? But I guess if you need a summary of your tax return, you can get it and other transcripts online using the IRS's newly relaunched tool. The IRS disabled the Get Transcript tool last year when identity thieves used it to access taxpayer info. They recently re-released the tool with stricter security measures. So you have to verify your identity with your social security number, date of birth, and some other personal information. You now also need to authenticate the account using a mobile phone with your name on the account. So bada bing, bada boom. If you have a company phone like mine, too bad. You're not. I tried to authenticate something on the Social Security site today, and it wasn't working because of that. Over on the Hill, and I very, very, very rarely read anything on this website whatsoever, but I had to chuckle because the cable companies, fearing competition, are asking Congress to keep them in control of the TV set-top box. There is some serious language going on here. The MPAA, for example, told regulators that competitive device makers would lead to exploitation and manipulation of content without permission, and that the Cable Industries Trade Association argued that they needed to limit consumer devices' choices because device manufacturers weren't licensed to handle TV content. Huh. Okay. So under this interpretation of copyright law, every device capable of displaying copyrighted content known to man today would have to sign a licensing agreement with every copyholder and every consumer wouldn't have the rights to record shows, skip commercials, or customize the way their channels are displayed on their TVs. We all know that courts have repeatedly ruled that consumers have all these rights already. But as long as cable companies monopolize a set-top box, they can impair consumers' ability to exercise those specific rights. It is clear that neither you nor the TV maker need a copyright license for you to turn on the television, although Hollywood and Big Cable would certainly like to compel that, and that's what they're telling legislatures. Oh, my goodness. It just goes on and on and on. They are scared to death because here's the story. The average cable customer pays $230 a year to rent their cable box from their cable company. And how many of you have had a cable box for 4-5 years? How much do you think that box costs? It probably costs, $100, maybe. And this is a big cash cow, C-A-S-H, for the cable companies. It's a revenue stream they don't want to lose. It's free money, folks. Free. It's free cash. They laugh all the way to the bank on this particular product. So, anyway, article over on The Hill. They're even, The Hill was actually even ha-ha-haing at the folks over at the MPAA and a variety of other trade organizations. We all know right now that virtual reality is starting to become big. And those virtual reality headsets, while cool, they take a monster PC to run. They take a supercharged high-end, you know, your little home machine that you've spent $300, $400, $500, $600 on is not going to cut it. To drive VR, to have a VR experience, you're going to need like a $2,500 Alienware or super macked out PC, and most likely a desktop, and maybe some super high-end laptops. Well, out and about, the Alienware folks are coming up with, get this, a portable AMD-powered desktop gaming PC that may someday allow Oculus and Vive gaming on the go. So it's a computer you wear on your back. Yeah. So virtual reality games, you strap on your $3,000 backpack computer, you put on your headsets, and then you get hit by a car. I just saying, okay, this is a, you know, a prototype, but no, thank you. There's something totally remarkable that I viewed today. It's a 4-minute video, and I actually watched it twice. Nearly 1 million photographs were used to make an unbelievable time lapse. This gentleman took 3 years to make this time lapse, 10 terabytes of photos. And when you see this 4-minute time lapse video, it's taken in China, or no, excuse me, not China, Singapore. It's amazing. And all I'm just going to recommend you do this on the biggest screen you have. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And it's hosted over on Vimeo, but link will be up in the show notes. You'll definitely want to take this out. Check this out. Again, a 4-minute time-lapse video that took over 1 million photographs to accomplish. I was talking with my son, my oldest son, yesterday, and we were talking. He's, you know, he's a computer science guy. And in college, we're, you know, talking about year two and everything else he has to accomplish, and doing a little financial discussion. He's missed a few financial goals, so we're having a little heart to heart dad to son talk. And nothing earned is nothing valued, folks. So he's learning some interesting lessons about that right now. But during this conversation, somehow we got on the discussion about what's happening in the biomedical space, specifically around the making of tissue and artificial organs. And he has always had a, you know, computer science. He's also got a medical kind of a not, well, he talked about it one time, maybe being a doctor. So, you know, there's a little bit, not necessarily a lot of tie in there. But I just, you know, got to talk. I said, there's going to be a lot of jobs in biomedicine for computer science people and specifically engineers to build the next generation of biomedical stuff that will ultimately start printing us hearts and kidneys and livers and gallbladders and, you know, all those things that seem to break. This organ stuff is going to happen. And, you know, I'm 52, so I may not see it before my lifetime, but, you know, if I'm able to make it into my 80s, and who knows, you know, maybe 10 years we're there. But the U.S. government has poured $160 million into making tissue and artificial organs. They're doing some grants. They're doing a public-private investment for a what they're calling advanced tissue Biofabrication Manufacturing Innovation Institute. The organization will develop techniques repairing and replacing tissue that could lead to, again, artificial organs. Simply speaking, you wouldn't need someone to donate an organ. You wouldn't need to be on a kidney waiting list for 3 or 4 years. Doctors could either fix damaged parts or transplant an artificial organ created on demand, and maybe with your own blood. So we know that this is a long way off, you know, and I thought initially maybe 10 years. I'm talking to some people about it at CES and some other events I've been to, and they're thinking more like 15. I think this is going to move quick. So I'm just trying to give him some ideas on where he can do some secondary focus in his education and maybe end up in one of these, writing the code and helping to build the next generation of, organ printing machines. So quite literally, that could be the case. So just trying to, make him think a little outside the box a little bit. But anyway, that's the latest news on that from the U.S. government investing $160 million. And I think it's awesome. All right, the FCC won't release internal memos about the Time Warner Charter merger. So internal communications within the FCC were not released because of this Freedom of Information Act from Gizmodo. They're appealing. They basically wanted to know what the agency was saying and in regards to how the process went to make the approval of the Time Warner Charter combination. Hey, there was one thing I missed tonight, and I should have done it at the beginning of the show, but it just, dinged in my head. I was looking at the show notes tonight and preparation for the show, and knew I was missing something. So I just want to talk just a second here about what happened in Orlando. I think any normal person can understand that if a person is white, black, brown, pink, green, orange, whatever their sexual preference is, in the end, none of that crap matters, because we're all humans. And I think we all, as Ohana, value human life. And and one's sexual preference really is whatever, that's their business, right? And but this radical Islamic terrorist who come in and was full of hate and whatever else is going on in this insane maniac's mind to do what he did is once again a wake-up call, and it's something that I have been fully aware of for many, many, many years, is that these ideologues, they don't think like you and I. And they get fed information by people that are either in these mosques that are passing information that's causing this type of hatred. Now, let me say up front, I have a number of good friends who are Muslim. They are wonderful people. They work. They take care of their kids. They put their kids through school. Law-abiding citizens. I know people from overseas that are Muslim that don't live here in the United States. I have an interaction with them for many, many years. I used to travel to Bahrain and talk to business owners and on and on and on and on. And so these individuals are carrying out these acts. You got these this husband-wife team that were in San Bernardino that got weapons from a friend. And then you have this individual in Florida who went through all the normal process to get a weapon and was licensed. Some people are continuing to call out for gun control, but, we're beyond that at this point because there's just too much access. Well, there is thousands and millions of guns that are accessible. People are going to get weapons whether or not they are licensed or not, or been cleared or gone through a background check. But I think what pisses me off the most, and I'm just going to be frank, is that this guy was under investigation by the FBI twice. And yet, according to his coworkers, it was obvious that there was something wrong with this guy, and he just was angry. And it doesn't help that he's got a father that is going on Islamic channels and, you know, saying hate things about the LGBTQ community as well. I don't know what we're going to do, but one thing we all have to do is stay aware, watch for people's body language, listen to how they talk, because I don't care, again, if you're red, white, blue, pink, green, or purple. I don't care about your sexual preference. In the end, we're all humans, and we have to watch out for ourselves. And what has happened is it's just sad. And I'm afraid that we have these radical Islamic terrorists that live among us, and maybe some of us don't realize it. So, you know, all we have to do is keep our eyes open, our ears even more attuned to what's going on. I tell you, telltale sign for me and what happened to me when I was traveling overseas a lot, I would be in a restaurant eating, and 90% of the restaurant people would be doing what they normally do. But there'd always be a few people that would be sitting in an area where I could have eye contact with them, where they would be giving me the absolute, I mean, they would give you a look that you knew that if you were probably somewhere alone with them, it wouldn't turn out well. So oftentimes, some of these individuals can't hide what they're thinking on their face. So just be aware. Just keep your eyes open. I don't know if that's going to help, but we have to start doing that. And if you know, hearing someone that's saying things that they shouldn't be, we need to be more vigilant and letting people know. So anyway, thoughts and prayers to all those folks in Orlando. And we just, as a country, we have to continue to watch this. And this is not the last. So just be aware. It's not. It's no way it's the last. Not based upon the ideology that, they'd rather have us just dead. So the radicals, that is, okay? So, and I know we have some Muslim listeners out here on this audience, and, I know that the majority of folks in the Muslim faith are great, decent people. So I'll leave it at that, okay? Okay, that was weird in the middle of a tech show, right? I think there's another weird article. I think I'll skip that. All right, let's talk about Mac. On to a more cheerful article here. Big announcements at WWDC today, and new features coming to Mac OS. Yes, that's going to be the new designation for the operating system. And by the way, I had just down here on the floor tonight, I had a Mac Pro that my son has been having major trouble with getting it to connect to Wi-Fi. And so I brought it in here in the studio, hooked it up, wired it up to internet, did some updates, and voila, Wi-Fi is working again. So he's going to be very happy when he gets home. But anyway, the new Mac OS will have on iCloud Drive, you'll be able to sync your documents and your desktop folders between Mac OS as well as your iOS devices. You're also going to be able to have a clipboard that will go between machines. So if you copy something in on your iPhone and you go to your word processor, you can paste that what you have captured from your phone on your Mac. So that's going to be cool. Optimized storage, hard drive filling up with old files. There's going to be new features that will allow you to free up space by shifting old stuff off your computer and into the cloud. Apple Pay for the Web is coming. If you're shopping online inside of Safari, you'll have a shopping online. You'll have a Pay with Apple button. Picture in picture, binge watching while you work. Made easier to start playing a video, and you'll be able to pop it out as a separate floating box that can be moved around your screen. I hate those things from browsers. tabs, just like the tabs in your browser. You'd be able to have tabbed windows and other applications, including third-party ones. Again, the universal clipboard and auto unlock. So if you're wearing an Apple Watch, you get close to your Mac, it'll automatically unlock. So that's some of the initial announcements coming to Mac OS. At the same time, Apple TV's finally got a good update with a major tvOS update. So a major change is you're going to be able to search all apps for a movie or a series. You're going to be able to tell Siri on Apple TV to go to ESPN sports, specific event. It'll do that. So there's some big updates coming to Apple TV. Single sign-on is going to be, don't you hate that when you're trying to do HBO Plus or Showtime? You have to remember all those passwords and so forth. So that'll be a new feature. But one of the things that Engadget got into is one of the Apple's quietest announcements at WWDC. The company's introduced a brand new file system simply called Apple File System, APFS. It makes security its centerpiece. It offers a unified encryption method for virtually every device Apple makes, ranging from the Apple Watch to the Mac. That includes multi-key encryption, which makes it tough to crack even if you have physical access to the storage. In short, the FBI will not be happy. Encryption is now a core part of the operating system, not just something bolted on after the fact. So that's an interesting move. Very, very interesting. So the file system is available to developers in preview form now, and it should launch in 2017. There is now, how many of you get those notifications that just bing, 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 and your front of the screen of your iPhone is lighting up? Oftentimes, I just X them all, but now there's a way to dismiss them all at once. So that's going to be kind of a cool little feature of the new update to iOS. But so far, Tim Cook said there are 2 million apps in the App Store, tallying 130 billion downloads. And as he emphasized the important role developers play for Apple, he also said that $50 billion has been paid to developers. That's just simply incredible. On the platform Apple focused on during the event was tvOS. Eddie Cude, Senior Vice President of Internet Software, said the first generation had 80 channels. It now has more than 1,300 channels with 600 native apps. And again, Siri works with tvOS. And to be able to find over 650,000 movies. Q said that Apple News has 60 million monthly users reading news with its 2,000 publications. I have never used that. Tim Cook also talked about Apple introducing its programming language, Swift, in 2014. He says now that 100,000 apps, including recognizable names like Lyft, have adopted the use of the Swift, and it's the number one language on GitHub. So a little bit of by-the-numbers stuff that came out at WWIC. So everyone had their top 10, top 13. The folks over at The Verge had the biggest announcements of Apple WWDC 2016. Say that five times really fast. Let me load this up for those of you that are watching. And da-da-ding. So he goes on to say that that Mac, of course, iOS has a new name and more continuity across devices. Apple Pay, we already talked about that. The Apple Watch gets faster and adds new features. There's going to be, I think there's already an update. Slew of updates from iOS. Expanded role for 3D touch. New feature called Rise and Wake. That lock the screen when you lift your phone. That's cool. Apple News has gotten a redesign and support subscriptions. Apple Music is getting a Discover playlist and a complete redesign. Maps is redesigned with navigation in mind. Good. Their navigation drives me bat crap crazy. I prefer using the Google Map anytime. Messages get snazzier, so now you're going to have people sending emotions and stuff on iMessage. just what we need now for that to turn into a Snapchat. Photo takes on Google Photos, so some big organization updates to Photos. Voicemail transcription comes to iOS 10. Siri is opening up to all app developers, which is good. But anyway, that was what the folks at The Verge said was their kind of top 13 or so. If you're a Sling user, the Sling TV app comes to Apple TV today, so be aware of that. That's available if you're a Sling TV user. At the same time, iOS 10 will now let you delete most of Apple's default apps. And sadly, they've made it so you can delete the podcasting app. Call me sad. But it's not alone. You'll be able to delete Calculator, Calendar, Compass, Contacts, FaceTime, Find My Friends, Home, iBooks, iCloud, iTunes Store, Mail, Maps, Music, News, Notes, Podcast Reminders, Stocks, Tips, Videos, Voice Memos, Watch, App, and Weather. Apple warns that deleting apps may affect related system functions and data on your Apple Watch, and it says that of all apps together consume around 150 megs of space. Once deleted, the apps can be downloaded again from the App Store if their absence is causing problems. Do not delete the podcast app. And for developers, Apple's opening up quite a bit, some of their code and API and all that stuff. But if you have an iPhone 4S, you cannot go on to iOS 10, okay? No update for you if you have a 4S iPhone, all right? And one of the big news items today was that there was three ladies that presented during WWDC. This is huge. Big numbers compared to, was it five? No, a total of six women. Before today, a total of six women have appeared on stage at any Apple event ever. So today, they had how many alone today? How many ladies were on the stage? Was it four or five? Four or five were on the stage alone today. So, Apple, good job. iMessage will let you turn on read receipts on a per-person basis. So let's say you're at a, how many of you ever have been in the office and said, hey, I'll go grab lunch. Or you arrive at a restaurant ahead of everyone and you're holding the table. Well, now iMessage is going to let you basically, with app integration, you're going to be able to bring that restaurant maps up. Let's say you're, you know, riding an Uber to the restaurant. You'll be able to add what you want to your order, or you'll be able to order your food right in the app. The person at the restaurant will be able to take the team order and get the waiter started before people even show up. It was a cool demo. I could see many cases for this. Say, okay, you know, I fly, you buy. You know, and so you go and you pick up food for a friend, or you pick up for a team or whatever it is. And everyone can put their orders in while you're on the move. At some point, they'll be able to do it. So it'll be shared pay distribution, a whole nine yards. It's going to be awesome. It really, really is. That type of teamwork type stuff. And they're saying that Apple iOS 10 will make you love your iPhone again. If you haven't loved your iPhone up to this point, they say it'll help you love your iPhone again. All right, enough on Apple. A lot of stuff. Read through, watch the videos. Everyone's got videos, demos. The stuff will be rolling out through the fall. You guys that are Mac zealots, I'm sure you've been through this tooth and nail already, but the updates forthcome. Over in Tech Dirt, Peter Thiel's plan to destroy Gawker went way beyond the Hulk Hogan case, and they lay out a bunch of stuff that he has done. This guy, this Peter Thiel guy, he was pissed, and he continues to spend his own money to try to bring pain and suffering to Gawker. I'm just telling you, it's when you make someone mad and they have cash, they can make a company's existence a living hell. And he's definitely doing that to Gawker. I'm not going to go through this full read, but it talks about the genesis of how this has all went down, and really kind of into the detail of it. So I'll have that available for you all to take a look at. All right. Okay, so coming back here, Amazon faces a $350,000 fine for shipping dangerous goods. I had my wife, I've been reviewing a bunch of mobile devices. Talked about it already. I got the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge, the waterproof one. They're truly waterproof. I wasn't going to put this phone in a cup of water. A buddy of mine, though, saw this phone on Friday. He played with it. So my AT&T rep, just be aware. good friends at AT&T, you don't want him as a customer because he's got still an unlimited bandwidth plan, and he uses it like his home internet. He told me, he's like, like 100 gigs last month of data traffic. But anyway, he saw this on Friday, and he called me and sent me a picture, and sent to my iPhone, obviously. But he sent me a picture of a Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge in a cup of water in his house. He bought the phone, he took it home, put it in the water, then snapped a picture of it with his other phone and sent it to me. And he said, "You're too chicken to do a water test on your phone." And I'm like, "Okay, your brand new phone that you just put in a cup of water. Congratulations. I wouldn't have done that." But anyway, going back to the $350,000 fine for Amazon, just before I left for Michigan, I had to ship two tablets and a phone out. And I had everything packaged up in the FedEx box. The AT&T had provided a mailer, and she dropped it off at FedEx. And I didn't tell her what was in it. And the lady's like, "Do you have any hazardous things to declare in this package?" And my wife goes, I don't know. She goes, is there batteries in here, lithium ion batteries? And my wife said, "I don't know." And what it was is there was a lithium ion sticker on the box, because they had provided that for me. And she says, "You know that you can get fined $25,000 per instance if you don't know what's inside the box." And, you know, they're giving her a hard time at FedEx. And she says, took the box back. She says, "Let me call my husband." Well, I was on the airplane. She texts me, she said, "What's in this box?" And I'm like, "Two tablets and a phone." And she, I mean, my wife was like, "Da da 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 da." You know how they can be. They texting me, and yeah, I could have gotten in trouble and blah 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 blah. But they gave her a hard time at FedEx because she didn't know that there was mobile devices in the FedEx package. So Amazon didn't label their stuff correctly, and they're facing a $350,000 fine from the FAA after shipping a corrosive chemical by air, in violation of federal law. The 25th time the company's been found to violate hazardous chemical shipping regulations in 2.5 years. And some folks at UPS, the stuff spilled and they actually got burned, a chemical burn. And this was a particular type of product that only should have went via ground. So here's a word of advice. If you are going to be shipping stuff by FedEx and UPS, it's not illegal, but you have to declare what's in the package if it has a lithium ion battery, okay? Be aware, if you don't and something happens, you're screwed. All right? They have places on the shipping form now to put that. Hey, Twitter's making it easier to block abusers. And now it's just on the dot, dot, dot button on your Twitter account. You're able to press that and say block, and you can now block people real easy on the Twitter app. So there's been a time, you know what I end up getting? I get people that follow me. They're putting gross stuff in their feed, and I don't normally, I'm very limited on who I follow back, but some stuff happens in my feed that shouldn't be there. I see a not safe for work type of image come up. This is bizarre. I have to give this guy an A for ingenuity, but an F for, are you really that stupid? A user on Reddit who goes by the alias of FiletOfFish1066, referred to as Mr. Fish, has been let go by his company after it was discovered that Mr. Fish hadn't actually done anything for 6 years. Well, he did something, but nothing new and productive. His Bay Area-based firm says, which paid him $95,000 a year, each of those years, when he first got to his software testing quality assurance job, he spent 8 months automating all of his programming tasks. With all of his tasks fully automated by computer, he was able to literally sit back and do whatever he wanted. Mr. Fish is pretty despondent in after being fired because he says that he has completely forgotten how to code. Having neglected all that work to the computer, or having regulated all that work to the computer, and now possesses no marketable skills, he's very despondent because he's only saved $200,000 during a 6-year-long career. So the guy's got talent. He comes to work and he starts writing automation software. You got to give the guy an A for effort. You really do, you know, but oh my gosh. How could they have not known this? How could the company have been so stupid to not know that he wasn't doing anything? That's what blows my mind. Well, DraftKings and FanDuel, two companies that do fantasy sports betting, are supposedly talking about merging. You know, they've been battling regulations across the country, and they can't. People in some states cannot use their service. So, anyway, they're talking about merging. All right, last night, HBO Game of Thrones. Oh, there's only two episodes left this season. Well, you know, why do we have to have series that will now make me wait another 6 months? It drives me crazy, right? This series is epic. But episodes 9 and 10, well, they're not even announcing what the title of those two episodes are going to be. In addition, HBO has been trying to slap down the leaking of Game of Thrones. But it turns out that HBO's own streaming service made episode 8 available way before broadcast time. And it was up on the internet and available, and people were downloading the peer-to-peer version long before the broadcast version came up. So people were kind of laughing at them a little bit for, like, you idiots. Sorry, drinking in your ear. Alienware's doubled down on Steam Machine. I noticed when I updated the Mac, my son had Steam installed on on the Mac. How many of you guys are playing Steam games? And also, no one's giving me an advice on what NVIDIA video card to buy. All right, I'm going to have to go out and pick one on my own. If you're a Xbox user, Microsoft's going to let you design your own custom Xbox One controller. Color, I guess, is going to be your option. You'd be able to pick a pink and a purple or something like that. But you'll be able to order your combo, and they will even engrave it for you for $80. $80 and then an extra $10 for text. And if you think you're a star, like my son thinks he's a League of Legends legend, ha ha ha, you can, he plays on his computer. He doesn't play League of Legends on the Xbox, but put your gamer tag on there. All right, what else? Last couple things here tonight for you, and then we're going to bust out of here. There's a good video on The Verge. It's a 10-minute video of really every highlight for WWDC. I'll have that available for you. If you're a Samsung PC user, there's an exploit out. Please update the Samsung software update application. You should update to software update version 2.2.7.24. If you have anything earlier than that, your machine is susceptible to hacking. All right, that's all the tech news I've got today. Let me get into the comments I have come in. I got an email from Michael. Michael said, "Hey, Todd, there's a nasty spoofing trick that scammers are using to bypass two-factor authentication. KnowBe4 sent out a notice to its customers, and the warning seems to have hit a major nerve. Almost instantly, the web numbers climbed to over 1,000 as these customers are anxious to see the four steps that should show how this scam goes down, and proposed email that can be sent, and a proposed email that can be sent to employees, family, and friends to save them. It's a classical social engineering attack that plays on preventing a negative consequence and uses two scenarios to pull this off. One of them, the recent cluster of mega breaches comprising a whopping 642 million passwords. There's information about it on the KnowBe4 blog. So blog.knowbe4.com. And if you want to check it out, it's the scam of the week. It's a nasty two-factor authentication text attack. So thank you for that, Michael. I got an email. Let's see here. Is this, we already covered that one? I don't know if I talked about this on the last show. It's from Eric. He said, "Hey, Todd, Tim Duche, legally blind, he was born with a congenital cardiacs, which forced doctors to remove the lenses of his eyes. As a result of the surgery, Duche's widened pupils allow excess light in, leaving the 10% of the world he sees during the daytime to be overexposed. The nighttime, however, is an entirely different story." Great Big Story interviewed the amateur astronomer to learn about his experience studying the starry nights up north and chronicled them in this video published today. Instead of looking at his blindness as a setback, Duche considered his deep sky eye a gift most people will never get to experience. Feel free to share the video with Geek News Central fans and let me know if you're interested in a follow-up with him. So that's cool. I think I read that on the last show, but anyway, that'll be up in the show notes. All right, that's it. That's where we're at. We're done. We're pow. We're finished. We're ready to get out of here. Hey, I want to thank each. Did we lose part of the stream tonight? I see the string counter is only at 32 minutes. That's not a good sign. Don't know which service we lost, but everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And thanks for tuning in to Geek News Central. It's my pleasure to bring you the show today. If you have comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, support our sponsor. I'll be back here with you on Thursday. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.